Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word. Read the passage, and then we'll cut to the children's talk. And so if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll have the sermon. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you speak through the Bible, your word. Please help us to understand. Help us to believe. Help us to know this is truth because it comes from you. May our hearts be receptive, and may we grow in our delight in you and the gospel because of what you say to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's read Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offence. For if by the one man's offence many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offence resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offences resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offence death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offence judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now it's over to the children's talk. Hi everyone, I'm here with my three kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys.
Hi.
I want you to imagine that this plane is at the airport. It is at the airport in Bendigo and it is getting ready to travel to Sydney. Here are three people heading onto the plane. One, two, three. And off it goes. Do you think that this one here, as this plane travels to Sydney, do you think this one is going to arrive in London?
No.
What about this one? Is this one going to arrive in Brisbane?
No.
Is this one going to arrive in Melbourne?
No.
Why not?
Because this plane is going to Sydney, so these three are going to Sydney.
So they're in the plane, and where the plane goes, they go. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Oh, that's very interesting. Now, I want to get you guys to use your imagination And imagine that this plane is Adam. This plane is Adam. And these people are people who are born in this world. Because when the Bible says, when we are born, we are automatically in Adam. We are united to him. Just like people on a plane are united to a plane, and where the plane goes, they go. When we are born in Adam. Adam becomes like our plane. So when the plane goes up, we go up. When the plane goes down, we go down. When the plane shudders, we shudder. And Adam, like a plane, takes us where he is going. Because Adam sinned, he takes us to a destination of punishment. He takes us to the destination of judgment. When you're in a plane, can you decide to change destination?
No.
Where the plane goes, you go. But here's the amazing thing about the gospel. Because just like Adam is like a plane, Jesus is like a plane. And when we believe in Jesus, you can't do this in normal planes, but with Jesus, when we believe, we get taken out of the Adam plane and get put into the Jesus plane. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
When we get put into the Jesus plane. And while Adam sinned, and so his plane and everyone in him goes to the place of judgment, because Jesus obeyed God and went to the cross, all the people who are in him go to the place of life, go to the place of reward. Because of what Jesus did, these people, because they've placed their faith in Jesus, they are united to him. And so wherever Jesus goes, they go. And Jesus goes to the place of reward and of life. The Bible gives us two choices, two ways that we can live. Either we are in Adam or we are in Jesus. Either we go to the place of punishment or we go to the place of reward. It's either death in Adam or life in Jesus. That's the story of the Bible. And that's the choice that everyone needs to make.
I go to Jesus.
I hope so.
Me too.
Me too.
So let's say a prayer and ask that God would help us to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given Jesus to save people who are in Adam. I pray that these kids and all the kids listening and all the grown-ups listening would put their faith in Jesus, that they would be in him and go to the place of reward and life, that Jesus' obedience would mean reward for them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes when reading a story, you get lost. That's what happened when I was at school. I was ambitious and tried to read The Lord of the Rings. That's a thick book, or three thick books. It has a lot of characters with unfamiliar names. It's an epic, moving from one location to another with many, many adventures along the way. I tried to read it, but I got lost. I forgot who that character was. I'd forget what just happened, which I'd read the night before. And I had no real sense of how it all fit together. About 6 years ago, I made the attempt again, and this time I succeeded. Not just because I was older, though that probably helped, but because I was more familiar with the story. I'd seen the movies, so I knew the general plot, and I knew the characters. I could see how it all fit together. The same problem shows its face when reading the Bible. Do you understand how all these stories fit together? Have you realized that the whole Bible isn't some random collection of stories smushed together, but all the mini-stories come together to form one large story? Paul makes some big claims in Romans, and we're left asking, how is it possible? How can all people be called sinful? How can one man, by his death and resurrection, fix that problem? How can faith in Jesus really reconcile us to God? And to answer that how question, Paul zooms out. He gives the basic plot of the Bible and focuses on the two most significant characters. Here's his plot summary of the Bible. Either we die in Adam or live in Jesus. It's that simple. Either we die in Adam or live in Jesus. And he introduces us to Adam in our first heading, verses 12 to 14. Adam's sin brought death. One book I've read makes the interesting point that in those lists about the most influential people in history, they always get the number two person wrong. Most of the time they'll have Jesus up the top, which is exactly right, but who do you put at number two? Well, Paul knows exactly who should be at number two. Only Jesus had a greater impact on the lives of people than Adam. Adam made the world and us the way we are. Verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. In Paul's plot summary of the Bible, he goes back to Genesis 3. You can see that Paul's partway through a comparison, just as, he says. And we're waiting for the other foot to drop, but he decides to break off that thought for a bit and explain what he's just said. Adam was created into an innocent world. No suffering, no death, a world full of potential, a garden to cultivate and expand. And even though Eve took the fruit first, Adam's held responsible. He was the head, representing everyone who'd follow. He sinned, and death followed. But not just for him, sin came to all people because in Adam all sinned. And to Western ears, this sounds strange. We think as individuals. We think it wouldn't be fair to be held responsible for what someone else did. At one level, we can start to understand this representative thinking. Last year, the day after the AFL Grand Final, I had to tell my kids that we'd lost the game. We didn't play. Geelong played. But we identify ourselves with our team. When it comes to war and peace, we think collectively. Australia joined the First World War and the Second. When that was announced, every baby just born was at war, even though only the soldiers went to fight. It's not just that Adam's sin impacted us, as if we caught a disease from him. Paul's saying that Adam was so representing us that when he sinned, we sinned. That's what it means for him to be the representative head of humanity. We were united with him in his eating of the fruit. We might scream that it's not fair. If I stole a car, it wouldn't be fair for my whole family to go to jail with me. But Paul focuses his attention on Adam because he's a unique character in the Bible, because his actions impact everyone else. That's why verses 13 to 14 say that even though there was no written law, so no one was breaking a spoken law like Adam, death reigned between Adam and Moses. Because even though their sin wasn't like Adam's, they were still guilty in him. And so, verse 14, death reigned. Why could Paul spend chapters 1 to 3 so confident that everyone had sinned and will be judged by God? Because of Adam. We saw last year that Adam, representing all people who'd come after him, was given the covenant of works, and he broke the command. And we were there in the garden. In him we took the fruit. We rebelled against God, broke the covenant. We're joined to him in his rebellion. And we all face the judgment it brings. That might sound hard to accept. That people are naturally counted guilty because of our union with Adam. But it's important to accept. Because verse 14 says Adam's a type of the one to come. We've seen that Adam's sin brought death. Let's turn to our second heading in verses 15 to 17. The difference Jesus makes. See the difference between Jesus and Adam in verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offence. For if by the one man's offence many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. We're introduced to the other representative. Adam is the natural representative of humanity, the one we're all born into. His sin has brought guilt and death to the many, all those united to him. But Jesus has brought something greater. God's grace has come through Jesus and abounded to many, to all those united to him. But what is this gift, this grace of God? Verse 16, the judgment which came from one offence resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offences resulted in justification. By Adam's sin, we were declared guilty. When we sin, we agree with Adam. Every moment of hatred and disdain for others, every sour word, moment of selfishness, pride and lust, every single time we've ignored God, living as though he didn't exist and didn't care what we did. Adam's one sin brought condemnation, and we join with him with our own sin. But verse 16 says the gift that comes from Jesus after many offences results in justification. In not being declared a lawbreaker and made to suffer the judgment, but being declared a lawkeeper, perfectly innocent and righteous. In 1915, an event happened that would forever change Australia. Australian soldiers landed on the wrong beach, in what we now call Anzac Cove. Because of their position, the Ottomans were able to inflict many casualties. The Australians weren't able to get the high ground on that first day. And this forever changed Australia. It's been said that an Australian identity emerged. We came to view ourselves as a nation all our own. We had a unique identity. Some events are that powerful. The landing at Gallipoli changed Australia. The coming of Jesus and his death on the cross changed the world. He showed the power of God's grace, so much more powerful than sin. Because no matter how many sins are involved, all those who are joined to him receive the gift of justification. Look at verse 17. Once, because of Adam, we were under the cruel tyrant, death. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this was a world of funerals. Death is all around, but now those in Jesus will reign. If we're joined to the King, we'll reign with him. Paul's teaching some deep theology. And this shouldn't bore us or turn us off. It's supposed to excite us and fill us with wonder. This is what God has done for us. This is his abundant grace. Does this excite you? We were lost, dead in Adam. Adam's sin brought death, but what a difference Jesus makes. When was the last time you were reading your Bible and you just had to stop because it was so wonderful? I wonder how many of us take this for granted. One of my biggest fears is that there are people here who think they're safe, but they're not. Who think they're Christian, they're forgiven, but they aren't. Now, there are genuine Christians here, and I hope there are some who are exploring, but do you have a false sense of security? One way to test that is how you feel about this news we're hearing week after week. Is this good news that God has showered his abundant grace on us? Is it like water on a duck's back to you? Do you care at all? My hope and dream is that we'd all believe this good news and it'd impact everything we do. We would sing louder. We'd rejoice through our trials. We'd be talking to our neighbors and sharing the good news with them. Either we die in Adam or live in Jesus. Has Jesus made that difference in your life? Are you rejoicing, filled with awe? Do you live in Jesus? Because otherwise, you're dead in sin. And that leads us to our third heading in verses 18 to 21, a representative to choose. Look at what verses 18 and 19 say about Adam. Through one man's offence, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Paul's returns to the point he was making in verse 12. Look at the impact Adam's made. Everywhere you look, you see the impact of his action. Death, decay, suffering. We all feel the pain of his punishment for deliberately rebelling against God. To understand the story of the Bible and everything Paul's said until now in Romans, he skips ahead to the greatest character, comparing again Adam with Jesus. Verses 18 and 19, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now, we might get stuck in verse 18. Where it says, the free gift came to all men. But that can't mean absolutely all, because Paul's been clear earlier in Romans that only those who believe are saved. And so what does all mean? It means all those who are in Jesus, united to him by faith. It's as if Adam and Jesus are giants. And every single person is dangling from either Adam's belt or Jesus' belt. We're all united to one of them. When we're born, we're automatically united to Adam, doomed to judgment. But when we believe, it's as if Jesus walks over to Adam, plucks us from his belt, and attaches us to his own. And suddenly, it's not Adam's sin which defines us and condemns us. It's Jesus' obedience, which drove him to the cross, which justifies us. In verse 20, Paul says the law never saved anyone. It made sin increase. That could be by giving us more ideas on how to sin, like a sign saying not to walk on the grass. We wouldn't have thought about it, but now we do. Or a sign that says, wet paint, suddenly we want to touch it. Either Paul's saying the law gives us more ideas to sin, or he's saying the law makes our offences more serious, because now we're breaking an explicit command of God. But either way, the law can't help us. Either we die in Adam, or live in Jesus. This is the story of the Bible. Sin leading to death and judgment. Obedience leading to righteousness and life. Either we're joined to Adam, or by faith, we're joined to Jesus, the last Adam. Are you safe? Are you in Jesus? Have you placed your trust in him? Then you have every reason to smile. Through your hardships and pain and questions, you have life. You will reign with Christ. You're safe from the judgment. Jesus' story has become your story. All that he did for you. You have nothing to worry about from the future. For you, grace reigns, not death. And now, hopefully, you have a handle on the wider story of the Bible. Even as all the smaller stories might spark millions of questions, you now know the wider plot. You've gone from being united to Adam to being united to Jesus, from death to life, because Jesus was obedient to death. That's your story. But are you not sure if you're safe? Not sure if you're a Christian, if you've trusted in Jesus? Or maybe you know you haven't. Paul's telling you that you're in danger. You're united to Adam, and his sin is your sin, and you're facing death. Not just the physical death we all face, but spiritual death, an eternity of God's anger and punishment. But that doesn't need to be your reality. You can escape it, not by your works, but by God's grace, through Jesus' obedient death. Believe in the one who died and rose again. Don't dismiss these words. God is offering you forgiveness now, hope now, life now. If only you trust in Jesus and be united to him. Either we die in Adam or live in Jesus. Which representative will you choose? Let's pray. Our Lord, thank you for Jesus, that while we were united in Adam, you sent him to save us. That by his righteous act, by going to the cross, he brought to us your grace, which is far more powerful than what Adam did. Thank you that when we trust in Christ, we are united to him, and all he did gives us life. Please fill our hearts and minds with wonder at this good news. May all who listen now trust that this is true and have all their lives focused around who Jesus is and what he's done for them. I pray you'd be giving people faith even now, growing our love for you even now. May your word do its glorious work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. We'd love to have you join us physically next Sunday at 10 a.m. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.